Welcome to the St. Mark's Lutheran Church by the Narrows podcast channel. The sermon you are about to hear is from our worship service on March 24th, 2024. For more information about the community and ministries of St. Mark's, you can visit our website, smlutheran.org. There you will find the full online worship service from which this sermon is taken. And if you would like to contribute financially to help sustain the ministries at St. Mark's, you'll find information on how to do that there as well. And now, here's Pastor Mark Gravrock with the gospel reading.
Our scripture this morning, aside from the processional gospel, is Psalm 118. The Palm Sunday crowd cries out, "Hosanna," which means, "Save us." That language comes from Psalm 118. A psalm that celebrates the return of the king from victory in battle. That motif of victory will reflect Easter as well as Palm Sunday, bracketing the battle of the cross in the middle of this powerful week. This morning we pray Psalm 118 in parts. I will serve as the leader, the priest who's welcoming the king back into Jerusalem after the battle. Pastor Siggy will serve as king. There she is on the back of the sanctuary. You wave to King Siggy, or Queen Siggy, as the case may be. You can think of her that way now forever. Your own parts as the celebrating people will appear on the screen. We pray. Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good.
The mercy of the Lord endures forever.
Let Israel now proclaim.
The mercy of the Lord endures forever.
Let the house of Aaron now proclaim. Let those who fear the Lord now proclaim.
The mercy of the Lord
endures. I called to the Lord in my distress, who answered by setting me free. The Lord is at my side, therefore I will not fear. What can human power do to me? The Lord is at my side to help me. I will triumph over those who hate me.
It is better to rely on the Lord than to put any trust in flesh.
All the ungodly encompassed me. In the name of the Lord, I repelled them. They hemmed me in. They hemmed me in on every side. In the name of the Lord, I repelled them. They swarmed about me like bees. They blazed like a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I repelled them. I was pressed so hard that I almost fell, but the Lord came to my help. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my deliverance.
A sound of exultation and victory in the tents of the righteous.
The mighty hand of the Lord is triumphed.
The mighty hand of the Lord is exalted.
The mighty hand of the Lord has triumphed.
I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them. I will offer thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. Those who are righteous may enter.
I will give thanks to the Lord who answered me and has become my deliverance.
The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. I think we need to back up a slide. There.
This is the Lord's doing, and his heart is in our eyes.
On this day, the Lord has saved, has acted.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Hosanna, Lord, hosanna.
Hosanna, Lord, send us now success.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
God is the Lord and has shined upon us. Form a procession with branches up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will thank you. You are my God, and I will extol you.
Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good.
The mercy of the Lord endures forever.
Amen. Grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a crisp, sweet spring morning in Bethany, a Mediterranean spring morning, more like a California spring morning than a Northwest spring morning, just to be clear. He steps out into the freshness of the dawn. He has been anticipating this day for a very long time, both dreading it and eager for it. Jerusalem. Today he enters Jerusalem. Today he claims Jerusalem. Today he butts up against Jerusalem. Now he's not new to Jerusalem, of course. Like every faithful Israelite, he has made this pilgrimage annually at least, if not more, for festival after festival. But this time will be different. He breathes in the fresh spring air. He glances heavenward, smiles a little grimly, and nods his head, and turns to go back inside for breakfast. Before long, they're all gathered outside and ready. The disciples, filled with festival excitement, eager as school children on holiday, all the while brushing aside the vague unease at their master's recent warnings. Don't you know what awaits us in Jerusalem? We don't get it, and we don't want to hear it. Stuff that down. It's party time. They start the climb up the Mount of Olives. Well, there's an easier way to get into the city from Bethany, easier and only a little bit longer, a track that skirts the left end of the mountain, the south end, and swings up the Kidron Valley. Many of the pilgrims will take that route. He chooses the route up over the mountain. Not a mountain, really. It's just a hill of a few hundred feet, but the best you can get for a mountain there. Why does he choose this route? Maybe he's thinking of that promise from the prophet Zechariah, "Then the Lord will go forth. On that day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives." Maybe. Or maybe it's the dramatic approach. Once you crest the top of the Mount of Olives and catch that glimpse of the city lying below, it's well worth the climb. And so they start the gentle climb, everyone abuzz with excitement. And he smiles, even laughs a little at the sheer joy of it all, even though he knows. It's not long, only 3/4 of a mile or so, before they reach the little village of Bethphage. He pauses, and the group pauses with him, with questions in their eyes, wondering why they've stopped. He calls Philip and Andrew over to him. "Go on ahead of us into this village. As soon as you come into town, you'll find a donkey colt tied up. Untie it and bring it back here. Oh, and it's likely that somebody may ask you, 'What do you think you're doing taking this colt?' Tell them, 'The Lord needs it, and he'll send it back here right away.'" The two disciples raise their eyebrows, but they nod okay, and they head off into the village. He knows what he's doing. He's left nothing to chance. His Bethany friends have arranged for this colt, and its owners are equipped with the password, "The Lord needs it." He knows what he's doing. He is ready to make his claim public, finally. And he wonders whether the disciples will catch the message. They ought to catch it. They've grown up steeped in the scriptures and in the promises. They ought to catch the symbol from prophecy. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Look, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious, humble, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." They ought to catch the message. It's just about as subtle as putting on a crown. Well, soon Philip and Andrew return, wide-eyed with wonder, leading the donkey. They take off their own cloak, their cloaks, and spread them on the colt's back for their leader to sit on. He settles himself in place. And even though this colt has never been ridden before, like a sacral animal set apart for sacred purpose, the colt senses this man's gentleness and never balks for a second. The party moves forward, the donkey moving at the walking pace of the crowd. Are they catching the message yet? They're mostly silent for a bit, pondering, wondering what's going on. Then finally one disciple blurts out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They do understand. They don't understand what my kingdom is all about. and they're blinding themselves to what's truly about to happen. But they do catch my claim. He smiles. For now, he simply keeps silence and smiles. Isaiah's words echo in his heart. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. He will not cry out or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break. A dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. It's not far, only another quarter mile or so before they crest the top of the Mount of Olives. And there they stop, their breath catching at the sight. Jerusalem, spread out below before them. Jerusalem, the city of God. Jerusalem, bathed in mid-morning sunshine. And there, front and center, directly across from the Kidron Valley, there is the Temple Mount, with God's temple gleaming in the sunshine. No matter how many times you've seen it, this sight of God's city takes your breath away. The breeze is getting a little warmer now, and this little band is no longer a little band. Throngs of pilgrims from all over Israel are gathering for the Passover, and the crowd on the Mount of Olives is growing by the minute. The air is filled with excitement, festival excitement, Passover excitement, pulsing with all the hopes and dreams and longings of an occupied people. And now the electricity just bursts forth from the disciples. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, save us, Lord. Hosanna. And the crowd picks up the cry. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the Lord's name. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heights. He looks around at the crowd, and he welcomes their adulation, their excitement, their praise. He especially loves the hosannas of the children. They're right, of course. The words that they're shouting are true. But of course, the kingdom that they are galvanized about is not the kingdom that he's claiming. No matter. Our understanding always falls short. We are always confused on some level or another. And he welcomes our praise and our love, no matter how small, no matter how off track. Again, the prophet Isaiah. God said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing in vanity." Now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be her servant? It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. I will give you as a light to the nations." He gently prods the donkey colt, and they move forward slowly down the hill. The crowd moves with them. Hosanna, they're crying. Some now begin to lay their cloaks on the roadway in front of him, a sort of first century red carpet welcome. Others cut branches to lay before him and to wave like banners. Hosanna. Just a little way down the slope, he pauses, and the crowd pauses, watching him. He gazes out over the city, and tears fill his eyes. Only those nearest him can hear what he says. O Jerusalem, how often have I longed to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you wanted nothing of it. If only you had recognized the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. He weeps for the city. He weeps for broken humanity. He weeps for all the ways that we fail to recognize the things that make for peace. He weeps for all our millennia of greed and fear, of violence and arrogance, of power and abuse. He weeps for the enslavement of whole peoples. He weeps for the genocides and the Holocausts. He weeps for Gaza and the West Bank. He weeps for America in our fear and division and violence. He weeps for a church that claims his name while fostering hate. How often have I longed to gather you? Once again, Isaiah. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We counted him stricken, struck down by God, but he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. He was oppressed, afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that's led to the slaughter, so he did not open his mouth. He sighs and he coaxes the colt forward once more. The crowd seems relieved that this parenthesis is over and that we're on the move again and that the festivities can resume. Hosanna! As they reach the foot of the Mount of Olives at the valley of the Kidron Brook, he glances to his left and sees a familiar spot, a favorite prayer haunt from many previous visits, the olive grove of Gethsemane. A premonition slices through him. Just a few days from now, he will be praying at this place, late at night, after they've shared the festival meal. Anguished prayer, clueless friends, betrayal and abandonment, torches and swords. He shudders and he glances heavenward again. Abba? But this is why he has come. One more time, Isaiah. The Lord has given me the tongue of a teacher that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning, God wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. God has opened my ear, and I am not rebellious. I give my back to those who strike me. I do not hide my face from insult and spitting. But for now, for today, here I am in the midst of this throng who need me, who long for me, who in their own way love me, and I love them. I love those who give me their hosannas. I love those who will strike me and spit at me. I love those who have no clue about me. And I love you, God, my Abba, whose love so embraces all these broken, fearful, hungry, violent, wandering people. Here before me is the golden gate, the gate into your capital. Let's do this. He enters the city gate. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Teacher, cry the keepers of the city. Teacher, silence your foolish followers. Rome is watching. He smiles. Just try stopping them. Get them to shut up, and the very stones will cry out. Amen.
You've been listening to the St. Mark's Lutheran Church by the Narrows podcast channel. Thanks for joining us.